This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited to be here today with Jeremy Wittig, who is the youth pastor at Burke Community Church. And I know it's cool that he's a youth pastor at this church, but what I really think is cool is that I met Jeremy first. I think he met my son when my son was a freshman in high school, but I met Jeremy when he came to our house to dog sit for us. This was before he was married. It was before we really got involved in the church. And a neighbor recommended that maybe he would be a good dog sitter. And sure enough, he was like, sure. And he came over and he dog sat for us. And it's hard for me to find people to keep my dogs. And so he's been in my house and he's helped us out. And then we ended up getting to know him really as the pastor of our high school age children throughout high school, and just watching him in that ministry role has been really, really cool. And now he's married and it's just a fun life. But I'm here with Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy. I'm
Hi,
glad
Jessica.
You're here. Okay, I'm
here.
So excited to have a conversation with you, Jeremy, because I just want to know about your story. I want to know really if you can tell us. We want to kind of get behind the scenes of your faith journey and of your life and just hear about how you've experienced God throughout your life and what that's looked like for you. And I'm sure sometimes, especially in ministry and having a little bit more of a more public platform where you're in front of people a lot, having an opportunity to just dig in to, you know, the origin of your faith and share who God is to you and how you've seen him show up in your life over the years is a fun opportunity. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, very happy to be here. Very excited.
So tell us, will you start out just by giving me a little bit of background on your life and on your faith and how that started for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I was born and raised here at Burke Community Church, and it was definitely something that my parents took very seriously. They're both very godly people, and they loved me very much, and they made sure that I was very not just attending church, but very involved in the community. And not only at home was I experiencing Christian education and were they raising me up in the faith, but the Lord really used this church to encourage me and to bolster me in my faith. So growing up, I always knew that I was a Christian. I probably accepted Christ in the fourth grade. That's the earliest I remember saying my prayers of asking the Lord to do something new in me and something unique in me as he enters into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And from that moment on, I remember just being continually encouraged about the goodness of Christianity and the goodness of what it means to have a relationship with Christ. So I can look back as early as second grade even and remember my Sunday school teachers and the way that they influenced me as people who loved God, but man, they loved others too. And they poured into me through that just heart of compassion, a heart of seeing me on Sunday mornings and asking me how I was doing. It's amazing how decades later, it still is something that I won't forget. Something that I can remember the eyes and the faces of those who served in this church and ministered to me even in that season.
Yeah. Okay. I have questions. So in this early time, you said, did you say fourth grade?
Fourth grade was the earliest I can recall.
Can you remember? Okay. And when you say I recall, is there any image in your head? Is there a specific memory? Is there anything like that that surfaces for you whenever you say, I just recall praying to God, or like maybe whether it was asking God to be with you or whatever, is there anything that you can envision there, or is it more of a general idea for you?
Yeah, I do remember that night. And okay. It was a unique night where because of some things that were going on, some crises, some family crises, I recognized a loss and I recognized a need. And I was fearful. I was fearful about what it looks like to live a life in that place that I felt I was, a place without hope, a place without relationship, a place of isolation.
And you called out to God?
I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to be with you. And that's all I remember. I was fourth grade, so it probably wasn't anything eloquent. Right. But I remember feeling a gap, and I remember seeking someone to fill that gap.
Mm. You know, I've interviewed a number of people about their faith journey on this podcast at this point, and something that has been really evident to me is that there is a spiritual memory. And I hear people recall, you know, like mm-hmm. maybe you don't remember hardly anything from a certain season in your life, but then right. that there's a one moment that is vivid, and I've just come to call it a spiritual memory. I don't really know what else to call it, but you know, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it is a more general idea for someone. But it's remarkable to me, even as you share that, that just the way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and there really is just it makes life so clear and so vivid whenever He enters in. And it's like we can remember things in ways that are just so much deeper and right. more dynamic, than other everyday experiences.
For sure. So it takes remembering intentionally, though. I think that's something that's been interesting is, you know, we think about Ebenezer stones from the Old Testament, and mm-hmm. we think about how important it was to them for them to intentionally place something in such a way that it forces them to recall mm-hmm. the beauty of that moment. And I think, you know, the older I get and the more kind of, I call them sanctification stories, you mm-hmm. know, moments where the Lord does something beautiful in us, the more I'm compelled that there needs to be an intentional remembering mm-hmm. of what that is, and not just a flippant bypassing as we thank God for what He's done.
Or like getting used to the fact that it happened.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. So then you feel like throughout your childhood and on into, I mean, I don't know what juncture, you know, maybe, but it sounds to me like in those times you just over the years felt a sense of God's presence. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, I think it was the Lord's presence. I also think it was the Lord using His church. I think it was both. You know, I think, you know, one of the coolest ways that the Holy Spirit works is in His church. It's in His people. Mm. While some people kind of complain about the sheltered life when you're kind of born or raised in the church, I look back at it with such acknowledgement of, man, I don't know where I'd be if mm-hmm. the church did not grab a hold of my parents' hands, you know, mm-hmm. And help them raise their child in the way he should go. And so for certain, the Lord's presence was very near and dear, but I don't think I quite leaned into it and relied on it. I think you're talking about this juncture until my college years, and we can get into that story if you want.
Yeah, I do want to go there, but I'm always curious before I hear even any more.
Mm-hmm.
If we say from that fourth grade experience to today, and we were just to put an umbrella over it, what would you say rises to the top as the character of God for you? Like, what are the things that pop on his character and his traits that really stand out to you in the way you've seen him and experienced him in your life?
Right. I think as I reflect on it, and maybe this is towards the latter half mm-hmm. of the story thus far,
mm-hmm.
is God is a God of good gifts.
Mm.
And it's been incredible to me to watch Him do crazy things that I could never have done on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I look back at the fears that I've had and the worries that I've had and the way that He has cared not only for the things that I need, but also the things that I want. It reminds me of that scripture in Matthew 7 that talks about how if we who are evil want to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God, a good God, give good things to those who love Him? And I just think as I even compare myself to some others in my life who aren't walking with the Lord, it's been amazing to watch Him do amazing things. And that's not always the case. You know, there's a lot more examples in the Bible of people who were obedient to Him and really struggled through life. But the Lord has been very good to me. And when I reflect, it's easy for me to see how blessed I was. The other thing is just that He cares. He cares about us. And I think that's wild.
It is wild.
I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that He sees us and He seeks to love us, I think is preposterous to me. It doesn't make sense. Even the grace of salvation and the beauties of His care and love for us in salvation, that at the best, that should be it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he even goes beyond that to give us, again, coming back to the good things, not just what we need, but what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I find that just ridiculous. And it certainly leads quickly to worship.
Mm. Amen to that. I agree. I'm constantly just awestricken by mm-hmm. it, by the fact that he would even be involved in my life,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. much less guiding it and,
right.
and orchestrating things and coordinating things on mm-hmm. behalf of my good and putting me in his perfect will.
Right.
I mean, really? I can't believe I get to live a life like that. And it makes me also that much more compelled to help other people understand what he's like.
Right.
You know, that's
for
where
sure.
this podcast comes from, because it's like, no, you guys really, really need to
yeah.
know what he's like. This is not just some platitude about Christianity. No, this God,
right.
our God is absolutely remarkable. And the fact that he invites you into this mm-hmm. is really breathtaking.
Right.
And there's no other way to live life. In my opinion, I mean, I can't imagine a better way to live life.
Right.
And he says, I've come to give life and to give it abundantly.
Yeah.
He didn't just come, you know, to give it, you know, in a mediocre kind of way.
Right.
So
yeah.
I love that. All right. Well, we could probably go on about these things all day
sure
long,
could.
But let's go ahead and get to it. So what, I'm sure you've had so many experiences, but why don't you tell me about this kind of college age experience that you had? And then I'd love to hear just any other way that, you've really seen God work in your life, maybe his power, his presence, or the way you've seen him intervene for you over the years. If there's anything you want to share about the behind the scenes of Jeremy's, you know, walk with the Lord.
Right. Yeah, I would probably say one of the biggest sanctification stories that I have, one of the biggest things that God has done in my life was a season where he taught me that he is my friend. And, you know, growing up, I was a flaming extrovert. And for someone who was homeschooled, it wasn't exactly, you know, the most conducive environment to really get that itch out. And so I was always seeking people. I loved being with people. I loved meeting people. I loved interacting with people. And I had a group of guys in my small group from 5th and 6th grade, moved up to 7th and 8th grade and all the way through high school. And those guys, man, we were more intimate and more authentic than I think any other group I've seen was able to be at such a young age. And it had to do with our parents. Our parents taught us that. So I had this really, really deep, intimate connection with all these guys in my life. And when I went off to college, that was taken from me.
Mm.
And in that season, I felt that when I approached college, there was this expectation of that being met, maybe even in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm.
And when that wasn't met, and even worse than that, I felt like I had lost those friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had lost a lot of those friendships and that I wouldn't be able to replace those guys in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that season where I was trying to find people who I associated with that I enjoyed being around. And man, the Lord just would not put the puzzle pieces together, to say the least. And I remember the pastor, I won't say where, some pastor in the area was preaching on friendship, how God is our friend. I remember thinking, this series is so lame. Like, this is just not hitting. Of course he's our friend. You know, I've known that since I was 2. Let's move on to something more in-depth, right? More theological for me, right? And I remember walking with a couple of my buddies who I did not like, I did not respect. They did not push me towards Christ. They did not encourage my faith. And at some point I realized, like, I don't need to be here. They don't even know that I'm here. I don't want to be here. Why am I with these people?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were walking on this path and I just started slowing my pace to such an extent that the distance between me and them grew up until the point that I realized I'm alone. And for whatever reason, the Lord impressed on my heart at that very moment that the truth of that sermon series, that he is my friend, that he can be everything that we seek in relationships. He can be that and then some. So I remember veering off to the left. I walked onto this patch of grass near a lake. And I just sat down. And I said, all right, God, if that's true, you prove it to me. If you really can be my friend in that way that I've been told my whole life you can be, show that to me.
Hmm.
So I spent the rest of that semester in the Word, in solitude. I tell my students I went on dates with God and they always chuckle. They find that awkward, but I think they find it awkward because it's hard to associate a relationship with God as a real, genuine relationship. Mm-hmm. And when you put material, you know, to it and you put realism to it and you realize, well, it's kind of like dating somebody. Yeah. You know, I would go out every weekend and then my Sabbath day I'd spend hours. Oh my gosh. 5 to 7 hours in the Word with him alone. Mm-hmm. Come home every day. I just couldn't wait to open the Bible and be alone with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I was addicted to him, man, all through college for 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Really. I was addicted to being alone with the Lord, and that taught me something very beautiful.
Well, it laid a foundation, I can only imagine, you know, for everything else to come.
Right.
You know, I was actually thinking about this recently because mm-hmm. I have a son who's a freshman in college.
Right.
And he's learning how to, you know, navigate all of this time, because up until college, your life is very structured.
Right.
You know, it's like your time during every day is pretty much mapped out for you for the most part. Mm-hmm. And then the older he got in high school, he had jobs and, you know, he had a girlfriend, all these things. So he was managing his own time and very responsible and very independent and everything. But now it's just different. It's like, wait a minute, I don't have class until 2:30 p.m., right. You know, and his girlfriend's in another state. So he doesn't have her to hang out with. And he got a job. And so he's doing that. But still, there's all this time to fill. And I was self-reflecting. I was like, what did I do? What did I do my freshman year in college with all of my time? And I will say, as you were talking just now, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I did.
Right.
I did the same thing, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I spent like 2 or 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Reading the Bible, studying, praying, and I just had this thirst to spend my time getting to know him better.
Right.
And there's never been a time in my life since then, and I'm a little bit older than you.
A year or two.
Just a year or two. There's never been a year in my life since then that I had the time that I had my freshman year in college.
And that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if there was something that I could impress on students and singles, it is that. Mm-hmm. And it was impressed on me, but I don't think I really grasped it until that point in time where mm-hmm. nothing is like that. Yeah. And for sure, when you leave that season, right? So I left college, I got married, I started a master's degree, moved across the state, got my first full-time job. Everything changed all mm-hmm. at once.
Yeah.
And you realize really quickly, wow, I had something beautiful there. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's not as good, because I think we guilt trip ourselves in this season, feeling like, man, I literally, mm-hmm. same deal, mm-hmm. 1 to 3 hours a day mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I could go back to that, I'd be really, really lucky. Right.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful thing where, kind of as you said, it lays a foundation of, I know who God is to me. Mm-hmm. And in any moment, there's this trust, there's a reliance, there's a confidence that he is going to be steadfast mm-hmm. in those character traits, regardless of what we're going mm-hmm. through.
And I'm just curious, you know, out of those seasons of maybe being deep in the Word, how did you see God show up in your life moving forward?
Right. Many ways. I mean, so many different ways. I look at my life now and I compare it to college and it just blows my mind, you know, what God has done, and again his goodness, his grace. So one of the craziest stories that just again forces me to worship him is my story of debt. So I walked away from undergrad with a lot of student loans. Mm-hmm. I had parents who didn't understand, you know, student loans. My mom is British, got her schooling in England, and my dad was in kind of a medical field. And so that's just a different world than student ministry, I'll tell you that. And so there was not really this preemptive thought process as to how much student loans can I really take on. Mm-hmm. And going from that into the workforce, man, it was crippling. Mm-hmm. It was crippling and totally self-inflicted. And man, I had to pray so desperately for the Lord to do the work in me. And man, he changed me. He did some crazy things in my life. He worked through this church, again, in wild ways, to provide in ways that you just could never have guessed. Mm-hmm. The number of people who gave me discounts on rent mm-hmm. over the last 6 to 10 years has been crazy. The number of people who have been such a blessing, even just circumstantial stuff, you mm-hmm. know, like I didn't pay a single dime in interest over the years. I was paying it off because of COVID. And that certainly wasn't yeah. on my calendar, you
yeah,
know?
Right.
And so the Lord just worked in amazing ways to show me that he is good, to mm-hmm. show me that he cares, and to show me that he is the provider.
Mm-hmm. He does meet our physical needs at times too, yeah, doesn't he?
I mean,
it's just really, really incredible that he'll even meet us in such a tangible and physical kind of way.
Right.
For things like debt or, mm-hmm. you know, mortgage payments.
Right. Yeah, no, and it's been beautiful to see the church work in that way, you know, and to even look around and to see how, because he has given deliverance, you know, we've been able to be a blessing and, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and to give. And I think there's just something beautiful mm-hmm. about being a part of the church in that way that, hey, you know, we're not unified under finances. We're unified under God. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's got goodness planned for you. And a part of being a part of the church is that we provide for one another. And sometimes that's friendship, relational, emotional. Mm-hmm. Other times that's quite literally just financial that, mm-hmm. hey, we're gonna help each other out and we're going to encourage one another and provide hope for one another in the midst of hardship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's how he works through his people on earth. Mm-hmm. So, well, speaking of, you know, you've referenced the support of the church a lot here mm-hmm. and just in the Christianese, we say the body of Christ or,
right.
you know, like when we refer to kind of biblical references. But I try to really think of it in terms of very practical terms. You know, I know I've had lots of friends who are not part of a church. And one thing that you've said earlier that makes me kind of think of them is the idea of taking their kids to church. That's always something that kind of sometimes sparks with people. It's like, I'm not really in a church. I haven't really been drawn to be a part of a church. But now that I have kids, I kind of feel like, should
right.
I should, maybe I should take my kids to church, you know? And then they start to discover this idea of community and this
right.
idea of, meeting our needs, not mm-hmm. just like you said, not just financial, but emotional and community needs. We are mm-hmm. built to be in community. That's
right.
how God designed us. So I'm wondering too, just in when you think of relationship with God, what does that mean to you? We use that terminology in Christianity a lot, and among Christians, we might understand what we mean, but can you kind of break that down for me? What is relationship with God? And for you, what does relationship with God look like?
Right. I think there's two different roads I could go down. One is the beauty in an intimate and an honest relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it interesting because that certainly comes up a lot with students as they're navigating their faith is how do I pray? How do I interact with God? And those are the two things that I push is be honest, be real, and be intimate, be with him constantly, recognize his presence is with you always. The other side of that coin that you were touching on earlier is the community. And again, I'll say it, you know, Christianity is not a solo sport.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, and I might get myself in trouble here. So no theologians are allowed to attack me here, but, the Reformation did amazing things for us as Christians, a lot of amazing things. And it brought a lot of good things to it. But one of the things that we have allowed it to discount the value of the church in our walks with God,
mm-hmm.
the whole idea in theology of sanctification is that it happens within the church,
mm-hmm.
not the four walls, Big C Church.
Mm-hmm.
That sanctification quite literally and theologically cannot happen apart from community. It can't happen apart from brothers and sisters. And so certainly when we think about a relationship with God, the church should be involved and
mm-hmm.
the church should play a part in that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is easily applied to education, right? That we come in and we talk with brothers and sisters about Christ and they teach us from their own experience. They teach us, pastors are teaching us about the Word of God and the value of really understanding it in its original context. And then we're able to just celebrate what the Lord does in one another's lives. And I think that enriches us and it teaches us about who God is. And I think there's a danger to kind of taking the what's called the Desert Fathers asceticism, which is just the idea of
fancy
the
words,
monks
Jeremy,
going
fancy
out.
Words.
I'm sorry. It was the kind of the season of time where there would be monks who would go out to the desert and they'd spend all their time with Jesus. And that's amazing. That really mm-hmm. emphasizes the spiritual formation that comes from solitude, but it misses a lot of other spiritual formation yeah. habits. It misses community. It misses corporate worship. It misses a lot of different benefits, again, of being in a part of the body of Christ. And again, I think teaching and sharing and celebrating are big parts of that.
Yeah, and accountability.
Right.
I mean, you know, and you can't have loving accountability if you're not in a loving relationship with somebody, you know? And so a sense where, you know, I mean, I just had an experience last night with a friend that was going through a hard time, and we were corresponding about, you know, about that hard time. And I was able to very clearly and very gently remind my friend about what God says about
right.
that hard time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't abrasive. Mm-hmm. It wasn't judgmental. I genuinely, my heart was aching for my
right.
friend, and I wanted my friend to experience truth
yeah.
and hope in the midst of that. Because sometimes when you're in a dark place, your mind can start to spin,
right?
You know, and you can really start to get sucked into some thoughts that aren't true.
Right.
And I need that whenever I'm in that place. I need somebody to pull me back and
right.
to help me see truth and light whenever I'm spinning into dark thoughts or into untrue thinking,
yeah.
you know? And so I feel like so much of the world does not have that.
Right.
And
yeah.
the minute they start spinning, where do they go? Social media
mm-hmm.
or, you know, into a place where somebody's going to commiserate with them and then send them into a deeper hole of
yeah.
that thought, you know? And I love the church for that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I can find trustworthy relationships of people who will point me towards truth.
And that's a part of Christian community, is recognizing, hey, that my emotions are valid and it's important for me to acknowledge them, but that they don't override truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, and I talk about this all the time, about the way that David models it in his
mm-hmm.
Psalms. Because all over the Psalms, you see the same format. It always intros with, God, you're good. And the entire body of the psalm is, but what in the world are you doing? And then he ends once again with, but God, I know
you're
good.
But you're so good. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times in maybe less mature Christians, when we're going through something, and whether it's the Holy Spirit reminding us of a passage or a brother or sister in Christ teaching us, when someone says to them, okay, but God is good. And God is, you know, when we're kind of encouraging one another with truth in the midst of hardship, less mature Christians maybe it's easy to see that as, oh, well, of course I know that's true. Like, I know God is good, but what about this thing over here?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a part of growing in Christ to be able to say, yes, I accept God is good, but man, this stinks. And
mm-hmm.
this is a really hard situation. And I'm really struggling with this, right? Lord, would you meet me here? Church, would you meet me here?
Mm-hmm.
But I still know that God is good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. All right. That right there could be our advice to the world, right?
Right.
But I'm going to close, I'd love for you to tell me, if you were to give advice to somebody who is struggling to believe, what would you say to them?
Yeah, growing up, I think a lot of people have had this a lot harder than I have. And they've seen a lot of death in their life. But one of the coolest things I heard recently from another pastor's sermon I was watching online was that death is a great teacher. And I think while I never had family members actually pass away, I was face to face with many of my siblings on multiple occasions being closer to death than I've ever seen, other than someone actually passing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in those moments and through death and the kind of exposing myself to it that the Lord taught me to ask the right questions, ask the real questions, ask the honest questions. I think believers and non-believers alike, we know those questions exist, but non-believers, and I'm thinking about family, I'm thinking about friends, I'm thinking about those who I'm really close to who have rejected the gospel, who were not quite there
mm-hmm,
in accepting
mm-hmm.
Jesus as their Lord and Savior, a lot of them really don't want to ask those tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I were to share something again for the people in my life who I'm closest to, who I love and mourn for their salvation all the time, it will be that Christianity is better. Is that what God offers to you is a better life. Mm-hmm. It is a better world. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, you know, when you accept Christianity, God's going to make all your troubles go away. But I have seen consistent trajectories in my life as I compare it to the friends of mine who I knew in high school who've walked away from the faith, and family members. And I see a constant trajectory in their life going in the wrong direction. And you see heartache after heartache. You see issue after issue in their lives. And so much of it is a result of their lack of submission to Christ. Mm-hmm. And again, Christians go through hard stuff. I'm not saying Christians don't, but man, when you're going through a difficulty, when Jesus is crying alongside you, it makes it a lot easier to deal with. I always remember that everyone thinks about the verse, Jesus wept, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we know about this story. But when Lazarus died, Jesus had every intent and knew full well he was about to raise that kid from the dead. And while everyone is around him crying, he didn't fix the issue. Mm-hmm. Instead, he wrapped his arms around those who were near and he wept with them. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, when Christians look at troubles and when Christians look at hardships in this world, we know that Jesus is right beside us. He may not be curing the issue right there and then, but we know full well there is a world without crying. Mm-hmm. There is a world without pain. There is a world without issues. There is a world without drama. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're waiting for, because mm-hmm. we know it'll happen. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering, we still have a God who has wrapped his arm around us and who's mourning with us and walking with us as we go through those issues. So that'd be my what I would share with those who are closest with me who are walking away from the Lord is this world is better with Jesus in it.
Amen. His way is definitely better. I believe that with all of my heart from my own personal story and from those that I've observed as well. So that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jeremy. And I hope that anyone listening who might be struggling to believe will just take to heart what Jeremy just shared and will really take it up with the Lord. Ask the hard questions and take it up with the Lord, because his way is better. Mm. Thank you so much, Jeremy. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.